The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Donald Trump has announced yet another ban. This time it's a US travel ban on 12 countries, including Afghanistan, Iran and Sudan. They come into effect on Monday. I'm joined by Brett Bruin, president of the Global Situation Room. Good morning, Brett.
Good to be back with you, Pat.
Can you explain to me what he's at here? Because it's a blanket ban. It doesn't matter how worthy or otherwise you are. If you're from these countries, you can't come in from Monday.
And I think that's what's problematic, because there are lots of reasons that people travel, not just for tourism, could be businesses. American companies need to do business with individuals in those places. There are obviously also medical reasons, study, but essentially, you know, true to form, Trump is taking a blanket approach to bans in these countries. It's reminiscent of what he tried to do in the first term, banning people who came from Muslim majority countries.
So is this fundamentally an anti-Islam move by Trump, trying to disguise it as a national security issue?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, if you look at the list of countries that he's added and the justifications that come with it, essentially what he's saying is that folks from these countries either have a greater propensity to overstay their visa, or they're from countries which won't take their citizens back or have been accused by the U.S. government of affiliation with supporting terrorist groups, the likes of Iran.
Now, moving on to Ukraine, and we know how successful the Ukrainians were in taking out a third of the Russian long-range bomber fleet, which had been targeting Ukraine. Then Donald Trump has a phone call with President Putin, which lasts an hour, he says, and President Putin tells him, I'm going to have to take action on foot of that action by Ukraine, and trusts Donald Trump to tell the world about it.
He does. Interestingly, nowhere in that Truth social post did he actually share what his response to that was. And I think this, Pat, is critically important. Is the president essentially giving Putin a pass on this one? Or is he saying, look, we need to, because this has been his argument all along, we need to bring this conflict to an end. We can't have this tit for tat, this escalatory step. Not to mention that obviously the Ukrainians are defending themselves from attacks by these bombers. And so the notion that Putin somehow has the right to retaliate because those bombers were taken out is quite preposterous.
Now, Ukraine did not give the United States or indeed any of its other allies in Europe advance notice of these attacks, which were incredibly clever and, as it turns out, very successful. But the subliminal message here is, even though they might not have told the U.S. anyway, they don't trust the U.S., that the U.S. would pass on this information to Putin.
Well, and I think this is a real problem, not just with Ukraine, but across Europe and indeed around the world. Our allies are increasingly detaching themselves, whether it's from military operations, intelligence, security sharing. You know, I've been warning about this for the last few months, that Trump's approach, where he is, you know, beating our allies over the head with tariffs, he's undermining them with threats of colonization. All of this comes at a cost. And I was just last night out with a journalist here, you know, God forbid something of a terrorist attack or a security incident should take place. It is not clear how the U.S. Would cooperate with our allies, given how we've treated them over the last several months.
Now, several things will come to pass in the not too distant future besides the midterms. But in 2026, we have the World Cup in the United States and we have the Los Angeles Olympics in 2028. So you willy-nilly decide to ban people from these events because of the countries they come from. This is a situation that is going to confront Donald Trump, whether he likes it or not.
And there are two aspects to this. One, buried within the rule here, there is an allowance for exceptions in the national interest. So one would assume, whether it's for the World Cup or for the Olympics, that the U.S. Would allow in athletes, leaders, others from that country. However, Pat, I think the broader challenge for the U.S. is we're just not going to get these major international events, conferences. Folks are, you know, I was just in Dublin coming back through pre-clearance, and it was astounding to me how few non-U.S. nationals were in that line at Dublin Airport. I think there is right now a real anxiety when it comes to travel to the U.S.
Yeah, and you've been in and out through that pre-clearance many times, so you know what the normal run of things is, and it was very different, you're saying.
It was. And again, perhaps it was just, you know, that particular morning. But it's certainly, as I talk to people in Dublin, London, elsewhere in Europe, you know, they're putting off travel plans. They're thinking twice about, you know, is now the right moment to go to the U.S.? Now, on the flip side, obviously, you know, there are still many opportunities here, whether it's from business, study, or just tourism. And, you know, I think the U.S. is going to have to double its efforts to convince people that now is the right time to come and visit.
Now, the continuing battle with Harvard, and the latest thing is that anyone going to Harvard is simply their visa is going to be cancelled if they're a foreign student or a foreign academic. I mean, is this purely spleen on the part of Trump? I mean, it's said that Barron did not apply for Harvard, and it's not about that, but it's known that Stephen Miller did apply and was rejected.
Yes. And look, the fact that they are targeting this one university, perhaps our most high profile university, I think is quite political. And ultimately, the courts will find, I believe, that this is unlawful. Nonetheless, it is coming at such a substantial cost. Cost not just for Harvard, but I think for other universities, because this is a warning shot across the bow of the ivory tower to say, you know, we are watching you. And if you act in a manner that we deem to not be sufficiently following our guidance and, quite frankly, our political ideology, then we will come after you. And the White House is demonstrating that with Harvard.
What is it about this administration? I mean, some of them must be educated to a high level, perhaps in conservative universities. But what is it about them that they would seek to undermine education in the United States? And we in Ireland know just how important education was to transform our economy.
Well, in higher education in particular in the U.S. has been for generations engine for economic growth and influence in the world. And yet, I think if you are a MAGA supporter, you see elite universities as being also an engine for the ideas that undermine your agenda. And so what Trump is doing with this is really trying to attack the liberal elite, to attack the efforts at wokeism that he sees as so prevalent and pernicious. But at the same time, this is obviously a tried and true playbook for authoritarian leaders who first go after the intellectuals. And I think we ought to be quite concerned about what Trump is doing here.
Now, finally, the big, beautiful bill. So Marjorie Taylor Greene saying she hadn't read the pages that were going to offend her constituents because they got the text of the bill very late, 1,000 pages, blah, blah, blah. But she clearly didn't read any of it, never mind the 2 pages that affected her constituents. But it turns out that 11 million people, or perhaps even more, will lose health insurance because of this big, beautiful bill. When is that going to come home to roost for Donald Trump and his administration? And also the massive increase that the Congressional Budget Office has predicted of what, over $2.4 trillion added to the national debt. When is all that going to come home to roost?
Well, and you have Elon Musk now out tweeting to kill the bill. And this, Pat, is interesting because I think we may be seeing the beginnings of the breaking up of the coalition that Trump assembled last year to win this election. The folks like Musk who are saying, hey, you know, I'm not on board with increasing our debt quite so much. You've got members of Congress, and I think for folks in Ireland, important to bear in mind, in just over a year, they're going to have to go back to their constituents and justify what's happening. And this is taking place against the backdrop of some real economic pain brought about by the tariffs and the trade wars that Trump has undertaken. So I see him on, you know, quite thin ice here, and we may see a big, beautiful bust of this bill in the next few weeks.
Brett Bruin, president of the Global Situation Room, former director of global engagement at the White House during the Obama presidency. Brett, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.